too exhausted to drive any further into Cornwall, we eventually found a sprawling campsite on an exposed hill above the sea. It was packed with tents, campervans and surfers, some of them already carrying six packs for the Saturday night party. We're not going to get much sleep here. No. John dragged the tent out of the boot as it started to rain, and suppressing the urge to snap at each other, we managed to get the thing up, then drive to the nearest seaside village for fish and chips, which we ate in the car, washed down with a small bottle of wine that stained our teeth. Through the rain-washed windscreen, hundreds of surfers in the sea. Some fell, others stayed upright all the way into shore, and yet others were lying on surfboards paddling back out. Mesmerised by their comings and goings and the steep grey waves, we fell into a reverie. We were waiting for the baby to be born in Mumbles in Wales, where Shane and Louise were living in a house overlooking the sea, a birth pool erected in the sitting room. Knowing that our very presence was asking that tactless question, anything stirring? We took ourselves off to explore Cornwall, a landscape made beloved through our reading of authors like Daphne du Maurier, Rosamund Pilcher, Winston Graham and Patrick Gale. But the initial enthusiasm that had brought us on this mythical journey was waning as we weaved our way back through wind and rain to the campsite. "Oh, look," I said, pointing to a tent that was being shredded by the wind, the tent pole sticking up through the roof. "Those poor, unfortunate people." "For Christ's sake, that's our bloody tent." "What?" as I began to recognise the familiar green and blue skin of it. Without consultation, we decided not to embarrass ourselves by taking it down in front of the cool surfers, and executing a nifty three-point turn, John drove towards the exit, abandoning what had been our only shelter. "It's a sign," he said. "We're too old for tents." But it was high season, and as we travelled from one bed and breakfast to another, the no-vacancy signs blowing in the rising wind, the place started to feel like the bleak moors and Wrecker's Coves and Du Maurier's novels. Finally, a woman with a lilting Cornish accent took pity on us and showed us out to a mobile home parked behind her house. With relief, we lit the stove, made mugs of tea and searched for a good film on the tiny television. For the next 3 days, we rested and slept as storm winds shook the mobile. "Thanks be to God we're not camping out in this. I told you, it's a sign." When the rain eased, we went looking for the towns and fishing villages we'd read about, like Truro, St. Ives and Porthcurris. Some of the names didn't exist, except in the writer's mind, though I searched every signpost for those places. And in Penzance, we followed in Patrick Gale's footsteps to the Methodist chapel and the birthplace of the Brontes' mother. But our hearts weren't in it, because we were all the time waiting for news of the baby. Eventually, we decided to make our way back to Swansea and found ourselves in Mothercare first, then near the house where Dylan Thomas was reared, and finally in Tesco's looking for another tent. This time we stayed closer, camping on the Gower Peninsula, safely sheltered by a fuchsia hedge. On the 18th of July, after a breakfast of fresh croissants and strawberries in the campsite cafe, I took a stroll through a wood that opened out onto dunes and a wide beach with pale white sand. Sun scorched the back of my neck as I made my way across the beach and into the sea, cringing when the cold waves splashed up over my tummy, remembering my daughter asking if I wanted to feel the baby kicking, and the way my hand went out so naturally, and there she was, whisper soft, then stronger, drum, drum, thrumming from the other side. Like the surfers waiting for the crest, the curve, the break, I surrendered to the sea's rhythm that hot day on the Gower as Sarah made her way, wave by wave, into our lives.